Shapira, we had about 30 Rabbanim, and we've been getting a report from Effi Etam on the political situation. He was sitting right opposite me, and in middle of his report, he just stops and he says, "Pigua." He must have had some beeper or something in front of him, and then everybody stopped. Silence. And then you hear the ambulances. We heard the ambulances. That was Wednesday afternoon about 5:35. The meeting by Rabbi Shapiro's house began at 4:30. And it sort of took me back to the days of 8-9 years ago when we had meetings often at the home of Rav Shapiro. And here was a throwback to those days, because to get into the house you had to pass a battery of TV cameras, the radio. Everybody was there, and we did not want to be interviewed, so we had them waiting outside. But the moment the pigua happened, all of the press disappeared immediately and made their way to Binyan Klal. All right. This year, I really didn't want to speak about the Meraglim. It's the most painful parasha. The most painful parasha of all. I didn't want to speak about the Meraglim. All my best intentions. Fact is that I'm going to talk about the Meraglim. And if anything, I give credit to Rabbi Mordechai Elon in one of his shiurim. He focused on something, and that focus is what I want to elaborate. You know, you always get ideas from good people. We always talked about the Meraglim. We talked about what made them tick. What was it that motivated them to bring this terrible tragedy upon the Jewish people? They were gone for 40 days. We're talking about a nation that from childhood on had been raised on the idea of Eretz Yisrael. These are the children of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They all knew every promise that had been made to Avram and to Yitzchak and to Yaakov. L'chol zarochet nenot, you and to your children, I will give you the land. It's going to be yours. Little children growing up in Mitzrayim no doubt knew that Yitzchak was the Holy One who had never left Eretz Israel. They all knew that Yaakov, the Zayda, had died in Mitzrayim, but had made it very clear, "Don't bury me here. Bury me at the Me'orat HaMachpelah." They must have heard time and time again the story of the Leviah of Yaakov Avinu. They knew the promise that had been given to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Moshe talked about it. They knew about the Eretz Zavas Chol of Udvash, the land flowing with milk and honey. Here is a great idea that had been part of their dreams, their hopes, their aspirations, their prayers during all of the time of suffering. And now certainly during these 40 days, Jews are ready, poised to march, ready to go. The spies return and everything unravels so quickly, it staggers the imagination. What happened to the dreams? What happened to the hopes? What happened to all of the prayers? How did the Meraglim do it? What was it that motivated them? These are the things that we talked about over the years. But there's another side to the coin in this whole parsha. And that other side of the coin is, how did leadership respond? What did Moshe and Aaron do? Did they rise to the challenge? Well, let's read. Number one, The first few psukim are Moshe Rabbeinu's instructions to them what to look for. Tell us about the people. Are they strong? Are they weak? Do they live in open cities? Do they live in fortified cities? Tell us about the agriculture. Is it a fruitful land? Isn't it? What grows there? Bring us samples. And then line number 11, you see, I very conveniently placed for you the numbers over there. After 10 comes 11. But you know, we didn't start at 10. Yalu Banegev, they went up through the north by Yavoat Chevron. They went up in the north by Yavoat Chevron. And he came until Chevron. Vishom Achiman Sheshai Vitalma Yelide Ha'anok. There were the Achimon, Sheshai, and Talmai, those who were born from the giant. The Chevron, Sheva Shonim, Nivnesol of Nei Tzor Mitzrayim. Chevron had been built 7 years before Tzor Mitzrayim. And they came to Nachal Eshkol, and from there they cut a branch of a vine together with a cluster of grapes. They carried it on Vayisohu Bamot Bishnoyim, and they carried it with the... With the stick. Fascinating that, of course, that's the symbol of the Misrad HaTayarut, you understand? The Meraglim bringing back the grapes. And then they took Minharimonim and Minatainim, Lamakamahu Karor Nachal Eshkol. They called it Nachal Eshkol because of the cluster of grapes, Asher Karatumi Shampine Israel. And they returned from touring the land at the end of 40 days. They went and they came to Moshe and Aaron and to the entire camp congregation of Israel in Midbar Paran Kadesha. They brought back word to Moshe and Aaron and to the entire community. And they showed them the fruit of the land. They said to him, they related to him, and they said, Bonu el ha'aretz asher shalachtanu, we've come to the land that you sent us, v'gam zovas chol v'dvashi, and it's also flowing with milk and honey. V'zeh piryah, here is an example. Yes, it is a land flowing with milk and honey, and here is the fruit. Ephes. The great Ephes. The Ramban's famous statement over here is, their evil, their wickedness, and their sin is all in this one word, Ephes. But, meaning, despite the fact that it is a land flowing with milk and honey, Ephes means nothing. Nothing is going to come from it. Nothing. Ki az ha'am ha'yoshev ba'aretz, because the people who live in the land are strong, ve'ha'orim b'tzuros gedolos me'od, and the cities are big and very fortified. And we saw those who were born from the giants. Amalek is in the land of the south. The Chiti, the Yavusi, the Amodi are on the mountain. The Akdani, Yoshev, Alayam, the Kdani are along the coast, Vayat HaYarden, and across the Bikat HaYarden. But all of a sudden, like a bolt coming from heaven, here is a complete and dramatic change. And this is going to shake up a whole people who've been dreaming about it for 400 years. Vayas kolav et ha'om el Moshe, and Kole silenced the people to Moshe, Vayomer, and he said, by the way, this is also one of the reasons I wanted to learn this, Alona aleh, Alona aleh. That's the one thing I take credit for in the organization, Alona aleh, is having given it its name. About a year and a half ago, an organization that has been established in order to encourage people from Western countries to come on Aliyah. Alona aleh, we will go up. The Yorashnu Otam, we will inherit the land. Ki yachol nuchal lo, because we will be able to do it. V'hanoshim asher olu imo omru, when the people who went up with him said, lo nuchal la lo tel ha'om, we cannot go up against that people. Ki chozok hu mimenu, because he is stronger. We're going to get back to these psukim. We're going to get back. V'yotziyu divat ha'aretz asher toru otel b'nei Yisrael lemo. And they said evil about the land that they had toured. Ha'aretz asher avarnu bo lo turo. Here it gets even worse. that land that we went in to tour. Oretz asher avarnu ba latur ota eretz ochelet yoshveha. It's a land that eats up, it consumes those who live there. It destroys them. The chol ha'am asher reinu betocha, up onto the left-hand side, the people that we saw there, anshei midot, they were people of great measurements, big, strong, husky, burly, powerful people. We saw the great giants, b'nei anok, b'nei anafilim. And of course, here comes the famous statement that psychologists have always had a lot to learn in it, but it's here. You don't need to be a racist psychologist. Even without psychology 101, you can already see what the problem is. We were in our eyes like grasshoppers, and that's what we were like in their eyes. If we are in our own eyes like grasshoppers, you can be certain that's exactly the way we're going to be looked at. That's the way it is. If you have no sense of self-worth, if you don't have a sense of self-respect, you're going to be worthless in the eyes of others and you're not going to be respected. What a comment. I mean, it comes flowing out of them. They don't even realize what they're saying. We were in our own eyes like grasshoppers. Anyway, everybody begins to cry. They cried that night. That was the night of Tisha B'Av. And they complained against Moshe and Aaron. And then they begin to make the statements. What a tragedy. Lu matnu beretz Mitzrayim. If only we would have died in the land of Egypt. If only we would have died in the desert. Why does God bring us to this land? To fall by the sword. Nashenu v'tapenu yield of love. Lavaz, our wives and our children are going to be for spoil. Halo tov lanu shuv Mitzrayim. Better that we should go back to Mitzrayim. One man said to his brother, Nitna rosh v'na shuv Mitzrayim. Let's appoint somebody and go back to Mitzrayim. Who's the Ish El Achiv? Here they come again. They come again. And I'm probably afraid that by next week's shir, though I'll try to avoid dosam vaviram like the plague, I'll most probably fall back into Dosan Vavicham. Nit not Rosh, the Noshuva Mitzchayim. They're the ones who've always wanted to go back to Egypt. I read it all not only because it's very important to read it, but let's see the next reaction. Vayipol Moshe v'Aaron al pneim lifnei kol kahal adat b'nei Yisrael. And Moshe and Aaron fell upon their faces before the entire community of the children of Israel. So a reaction of this sort has never happened before. By every crisis, Moshe had something powerful to say. Imdu ve'eshmo, stand, and I will hear what God has to say. Hashem yilachem lachem, God will wage war for you. Vatem tacharishon. I will pray for you. He does something. Moshe always assumes leadership. Moshe always takes a position. Strong, powerful. Moshe and Aaron. Literally fall apart. Yes. But he said something. He spoke to God. He said, I need help. Right? A process was begun in last week's Sedra. That I agree with you. A process was done. But here we've reached a point. Zero. FS from Moshe and Aaron. Nothing. Nothing. They're helpless. They simply prostrate themselves on the ground. Oyvei gevald rabbein shalom. What are we going to do? Helpless. You're right. It started. It started then. Moshe Rabbeinu already does not see himself as the maid servant, the nurse who's going to take care of these little beibalach. V'Yoshua ben Nun v'Kalev ben Yefuna min atonim et ha'aretz karu b'gdeim. Yoshua ben Nun and Kalev ben Yefuna were from those who tore the land. They tore their garments. They rent their garments. Kriya, yes. Now, who is the first one to respond? Kalev ben Yefuna. He's the man we're focusing on. Kalev ben Yefune. Instantly, he silences the people El Moshe, and he tells them, Alone Alev Yorashnu. We're going to do it. We're going to go up. Ki yachol nuchala, because we will be able to do it. We're going to have to analyze. Before the shir is over, it's going to be very important to analyze precisely what Kalev ben Yefune is saying. Because it's going to be of such contemporary relevance. What the Meraglim are saying and what he's saying to them. Vayomru al kol adat b'nei Yisrael. Now Yehoshua and Kalev say to the entire congregation, Ha'aretz asher avarnu bo laturota, tova ha'aretz ma'od mi'od. The land that we've gone through to tour is very, very good. Very good, you understand? I mean, very good. It's a very good land. Okay, yeah. But wait a minute. We've heard a report of it's impossible. We're simply not. We've heard a report that they're strong, they're powerful, they're mighty. We know exactly where they are. The Kanani are in the south. The Amaleki is in the south. The Kanani are here. The Chivi and the Yavus are on the mountains. What are you talking about? So you know what their response is? Shirei Eretz Yisrael. It's like, okay, Arza Aleinu, Arza Aleinu. My, that's a real response. That's a real response to the great problems that are facing the Jewish people. I mean, these people are, Yehoshua and Kalev are living in the real world, you understand. Tova Haaretz Ma'od Ma'od. So they have Jaffa oranges. Big deal. How are we going to get there? They become a little more realistic if you're from. Im chafetz bonu Hashem, if God wants, v'hevi otanu al oretz hazot u'netanu lanu, He will give it to us. Eretz asher hu zavas chala v'dvash, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Arba Hashem al timrodu, don't rebel against God. V'atem al tiru et ham oretz, don't be afraid of the people of the land. Ki lachmenu heim, they are like bread in our hands, like we've got them in the palm of our hands. Their strength or their shade has removed from them. Vashem itonu, God with us. Al tira'um. So you know, if they weren't talking Shirei Eretz Yisrael, now they're talking Frumkeit. You understand? They put on kippot through God, and they're talking Frumkeit to the Jewish people. Are they dealing with the realities of the situation? No. Vayomru kol ha'edol lirgam otam b'avanim. And the entire congregation said, or they planned to stone them to death. All right. We'll have to get back to another few psukim, but this is the basic outline. The one that we are concerned with, of course, is Kalev ben Yefune. And at the same time, before we really deal with Kalev ben Yefune, what we want to find out is what happened to Moshe and Aaron and what really happened to Yehoshua. It's Yehoshua who only picks up afterwards. Moshe and Aaron remain silent. Yes.
Why does Kalev clear his clothes?
Yes. Well, he's tearing his clothes before he says that, because he is facing the tragedy of a Jewish people who refused to go to Eretz. Oh, say, let's go back to Mitzrayim. I'll tell you. I tell you, that's reason to tear Kriya. I wanted to tear Kriya this morning when I read about the debate in Knesset that took place yesterday about the Mapat HaDrachim, and the Knesset, you understand, approved it. I've been getting ready at any moment. I mean, at the moment I get really upset, I'll tear Kriya. To hear Nitna Rosh V'Noshuva Mitzchaima. What are you? Nitna Rosh V'Noshuva Echveis to Galicia, to the Ukraine. What? That's why he tears Korea? Interesting thought. There's a leadership, Mamish leadership has collapsed before our very eyes. Yes, go ahead. By the way, that's yes, it could be a dramatic act, But I think that this was a poor moment that which drama was not enough. The challenge was too great. The need for somebody to get up and speak strong words. By the way, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove it to you. All right, you have your sheets over there? You know what? I'll show you two more psukim. In number two, you see on the left-hand side where we were reading further down, God says that they're all going to die in the desert. And then Pasuk Chaf Dalet, it's underlined. Va'avdi Kalev. God singles out Kalev and he says, my servant Kalev, Ekev haitar ruach acheret imo. Because there was another spirit with him. He was different. Vayimalei acharai, and he followed me fully. Vaviotiv el haaretz asher bo shama, I will bring him to the land that I brought him, that he came to. Vizaro yori shena, and his children shall cast out there. And then said, God, we have the editorial comment immediately. The Rebbein Shem, of the four people, the Rebbein Shem talks about only one of them. Avdi Kalev, you understand? He calls him, God calls him Avdi Kalev. How many people are called Avdi? Avram is Avdi. Moshe Avdi may Avdi Kalev. Ekev haitar ruach acheret imo. There's a different spirit. This man exuded something that is so precious. Yes. Yes. All right. All right. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. She says, maybe this already is the beginning of a reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. So I'll tell you, there are Mefarshim who say that Moshe was punished. He, as the leader, had to carry some of the responsibility for the Chet HaMeraglim. And I'll show you some of them. But wait a minute. I'll give you Moshe Rabbeinu's words himself. Number four, in Sefer Devarim. He's telling over the story 38 years later. You see where it's underlined? Zulati. This is Moshe speaking. Zulati Kalev ben Yefuneh hu yirena. He's quoting God. He's quoting God and he says, except for Kalev ben Yefuneh, they're all going to die. He's going to see the land. V'lo etein ha'aretz asher dararba. To him I'm going to give the land that he in which he tread. Ulevonav, and to his children. Yan asher milei acharei Hashem, the same term that's used in this week's Sedra. He followed fully after God. Gambi hit anaf Hashem bigilalchem. Also in me, God got angry with me because of you. Lamar, to say gamatalo tovosham. You also are not going to come there. And the Mefarshim go crazy. What are you talking about? It's going to be 38 years later by the Meim Eriva, by the waters, when he's going to hit the rock and not speak to the rock, that God is going to say to Moshe and Aaron, Yana shelo he'emantem bi l'hagdisheni. You didn't believe me, and therefore you did not sanctify me. So wait a minute, Torah says clearly that it's because of that. Here Moshe himself says, I was also punished because of you, and I was told you will not come there. The Ramban over here, I don't think I have that Ramban, no. The Ramban over here attempts to say that Moshe Rabbeinu simply wants to tell them at this point, you're not the only ones, or you weren't the only ones who weren't going in, I wasn't going in too. But that's not what it sounds like. What it sounds like is, yes, because I failed. And the fact is, on the other side, you will see I have the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says it in very harsh terms. In number five is an Abarbanel. Number eight is a Medrash Tanchuma. And the two of them speak in very, very strong terms against Moshe and Aaron. The Medrash Tanchuma is going to say he sent the wrong people. And it makes no difference how the mistake happened. The buck stops by Moshe and Aaron. You sent people who failed. There are excuses. They may be good excuses, good reasons. But a failure is a failure is a failure. And leadership has to realize that. You have to own up to it. So that in a sense, this is already the beginning of Moshe not going into Eretz Yisrael. But wait, there's more to say. The Abarbanel, number 5, the Abarbanel says, Moshe Rabbeinu sinned. Ki kasher yishalu Yisrael hamiraglim loy omru ki im v'yoshivu otanu davar et haderach Hashem na'alebav et harim Hashem na'avar alein. When the Jewish people asked that people be sent, all that they wanted to know is, how do we go up? What route should we take into Eretz Yisrael? How do we conquer it? That should have been the only question that Moshe should have asked of the miraculum. Just tell me how we begin the attack. Then Moshe, in the beginning of this week, said, gives them a whole list of questions to answer. The fruit, the trees, the people, strong, weak. Are they in open cities? Are they in fortified cities? The more questions you ask, you're leaving open the possibility for all sorts of answers that may very well bring tragedy. What did you ask? So many questions. You asked more questions than the Jewish people were interested in. All they wanted to know is, how do we go in? How do we go in? But you added all of these questions. So therefore, well, they had to report. The people are strong. They live in fortified cities. The Kedani, the Chivi, the Prizi, the Amaleki, they're all over the place. If you see that next piece there of Rabbanel, Lefisha Moshe Adonenu Tziva Bedvorim Heile Mashi Yisrael Lo Shalu. Because Moshe, our master, commanded in these questions that they should ask what Israel didn't ask for. V'lo Tzivohu Akel, God didn't command him ask these questions. V'nimshach Mizeh Shehador Ahu Bamidbar Yitamu. As a result of this, what happened was that generation had to remain in the desert. God saw that the cause was Moshe. V'shehoyomei hatzedek v'hadin hayosher shegam hu shesiv evzel lo yavo shoma ki shigigas limud ole zodon. You made a mistake? Alright, you made a mistake, but you know what mistakes can lead to. By the way, I just do want to point out, the Abarbanel is unduly harsh with Moshe Rabbeinu. Unduly harsh. Moshe Rabbeinu is the great Ohev Eretz Yisrael. Yes, there may have been an error, but I just want to show you that there is such an approach, and the Medrash Tanchuma is no less. I'm not going to... All right, here, let's... I'm getting nervous. Let's take a look at the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma already are Tanoim. It's not just the Abarbanel. Ishlach Lecha Anoshim. Send people. Number 8. Zeh Shomer HaKosev. That's what the Pasuk in Tilim says. Eshtololu Abidei Leiv. When mighty ones make a mistake. Nomu Shinosam. They sleep. V'lo Motsu Kol Anshei Chayil Yedeim. And then people of might don't find Yedeim, they don't know what to do. Eshtolu Abidei Leiv, Ele Moshe V'Aaron. The Abidei Leiv, the mighty ones who make an error, that's Moshe and Aaron. Sheshocha Meraglim, they sent the Meraglim Ubo V'Amnu, and they came and they said, Lashon Hara Al Haaretz, V'lo Yehoyu Yodin Ma'alah. So this is the condemnation. Moshe and Aaron didn't know what to do. Ela'af Moshe va'Aaron nitrashlu yadam. The hands of Moshe and Aaron were also weakened. Miyad omad kolev. Kolev got up v'shita kol otam uchlusin. He silenced them all. Do you know what a job it is to silence 600,000 plus people. Shenema, Vayahas Kol Esamel Moshe, Kolev silenced the people to Moshe. Omad lo al asafsal. I love this description. He stood up on a bench, a stool. He stood. Oh, he stood. I see you're learning very good. You're a fine Talmida. He stood. He stood up on a chair. You understand? This is Hyde Park. He gets up over there. Omad al asafsal v'hayom mishatkan, and he signs them for Omer, and he says, Hasu, Hasu, shh. By the way, I never liked that. I never liked people who shushed. But over here, he had to do it. It was a great mitzvah. And they remained silent. They remained silent. Over here, what he has to say. So he said to them, Tova ha'aretz ma'od mi'od. The land is very good. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Tova gedola ani ma'azik l'kalev. I appreciate and I have gratitude. Great gratitude to Kalev. Shenama Zulati Kalev ben Yefuna. The only one that God singles out is Kalev ben Yefuna. Mahu Zulati Laze iti ater mishishi mikem. He's worth more than 60 of you. Atem lo motzasim yedechem. You didn't find with your hands what to do. Shaltem, you were weak. Lachain nema eshtolu abit kol kach lomel if you show you shluchim tipshin. You sent fools on this mission. Aleim Amas Shloma, Mikatzed Aglayim Chomas Joseph Shaleach Dvarim Biad Ksil. Somebody who sends a message to somebody who's a fool has to expect that there's going to be tragedy. Yes. I'm really permitting people to speak their minds today. Yes. Considering that it's why wasn't Kalev chosen as the leader? Why is Yehoshua chosen as the leader? So let me just throw something else into the hopper. And I've even found people who agree with me. I even found the Gemara that agrees with me. That's even better. The Gemara says that Yehoshua did want to speak. The Gemara says that Yehoshua did, it's a Gemara in Sota that he did want to speak. And they told him, we don't want to hear anything from a Rosh Ketiyah, a chopped off head. They refused to listen to him. I'm taking a big Gemara and I'm just condensing it. A Rosh Ketiyah, there are a number of pshat in what Rosh Ketiyah is. One pshat, the Netziv says, small people who want to act like big people. That's what they accused Yehoshua of. And I understand it. They don't know Yehoshua. Yehoshua does not live in the camp. Yehoshua lives in a tent outside the camp, and he's the only one who's with Moshe and Dan. They don't know Yehoshua yet. By the end of 40 years, they're going to know Yehoshua. Because for 40 years, Jews are going to study Torah, and they're going to go ask shailas of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they're going to learn by the feet of Moshe Rabbeinu. And you know who they're going to see day in, day out, never out of the tent? Yehoshua. For 40 years, they're going to get to know Yehoshua. If they need to know a pshat and a Moshe Rabbeinu, he'll tell them pshat. They need an eitzah. Somebody has to give a kvittel to Moshe Rabbeinu. For 40 years, it's too early in the game. They don't know Yehoshua. They only know one thing. He was sent out to be commander of a battle that sort of ended as a standoff. He was the one who went out to wage war with Amalek. All right. But there's one other thing that you have to take into consideration. Yes, I see somebody back there who's really getting very upset. Yes. Go ahead. First of all, you're saying good. The only problem is, what are you going to do when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to make the mistake of speaking to the rock rather than hitting the rock? God is going to say, you have not sanctified my name. You're not going into Eretz Israel. My God, what do you want from Moshe Rabbeinu? Who said, Mecheni nomi sifrach asher katavta. What are you talking about? So therefore, I want you to know that when we're dealing with the Medrash Tanchuma, the Ema ubiyiro with fear and trepidation before the... It means not that he was bad, but on some level there was a certain degree of guilt. The Abarbanel isn't small stuff. And remember, forget the Abarbanel, forget the Medrash Tanchuma. Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron do nothing. The Parashat, they do nothing. Completely different than any other threat to the Jewish people. Vayiplu al pneim is not leadership. But wait a minute. I do have an approach. Yahushua is the Rosh Kitiyah, is the cut off, chopped off head. As I said, the Nitziv tells us that it means they don't know Yahushua yet. So when he wants to speak to them, they say, listen, you're a small guy trying to fill big shoes. But there's another pshat, I believe Rashi says it. Rashi says, Yahushua has no children, they tell him. They don't want to hear from somebody who doesn't have any children. And forgive me if I say how I understand it. First of all, it means you're not going to have children who are going to inherit in the land. You're not going to have children who are going to have to go out and fight. You don't have children for Tzal. You're not going to make decisions for us whether we should go out to war or not. Yahushua's a low fear. Our children are going to go fight. But you don't have anybody who'll go fight. You should make the decision whether we're going to go out to war. Oh no, you can't. Another pshat. Let's not forget what happened at the end of last week's Sedra. There were two fellows in the camp by the name of Eldad Umedad. And they were saying prophecy in the camp. You know what they were saying? Moshe met the Yahushua Machnes. Moshe is going to die and Yahushua is going to take them into Eretz Israel. Do you know what that does? Those four words, Moshe met the Yahushua Machnes. Moshe, Aaron, and Yahushua have lost their ability to lead the Jewish people. Yahushua wants to go in? Of course Yahushua wants to go in. Because that's when he assumes leadership of the Jewish people. Moshe made? Moshe, you can't tell us what to do. You're not going to be around for all of this. And there's one person who realizes that Moshe, Aaron, and Yahushua are not the ones who can demonstrate and manifest leadership now. And he instantly rises to the challenge. And that's Kalev Ben Yefune. Now I want to analyze Kalev Ben Yefune a little better. What's the struggle here going on between Kalev Ben Yefune and the Meraglim? And maybe it comes to an even more fundamental question, one that I really sort of prepared you for at the beginning of this year. How do you take a dream of 400 years? Three times a day, the promises to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the hopes, the aspiration. Now he's got Harat Sofim. How does it crumble in a matter of one day, one night? One night it all crumbles. How does it happen? How do you take Chazon Eretz Yisrael Hashlema, the vision of the greater Eretz Yisrael, and you grind it into dust? How do you do it? How do you do it? There are two steps, and the Meraglim take both of these steps. Step number one is come back with a report that is absolutely factual. The truth. There's not a lie, not an embellishment at all. There wasn't a word that was said by the Meraglim that wasn't true. We are, what we're watching is the head of the Mossad, the head of the Shabak, the CIA, the FBI. They're all giving a report of the facts on the ground. And it's all the absolute truth. The absolute truth. And it's not a pretty picture. Not a pretty picture. It happens to be a frightening and a terrifying picture. And if somebody is going to say, but we've been dreaming about it all of these years, the Rebbein Shem said, Onochi El Chog Kamolom, I'm going to take you down to Egypt, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, I'm going to bring you out to Eretz Yisrael. We've been looking forward to it all of these years. We haven't bought a 110 appliance now in 10 years. Everything we're buying is in order to go to Eretz Yisrael, and now you tell us no. I mean, of course, Kalev Ben Yefuneh could have asked the question in its classic formulation, oh, ma alternativa? And what is your alternative? To stay in the Midbar. And by the way, do you know what it means? That at this moment in time, they're ready to stay in the Midbar, or, as there are others who say, yes, alternativa. Nitna rosh v'nashuva mitzchayim, let's go back to Egypt. Yes, alternativa. Dasan and Aviram are always there with the alternativa. There's a brilliance to Kalev ben Yefuneh. You know what Kalev ben Yefuneh's brilliance is? He doesn't question them about the facts. He doesn't say, nah, they're not so strong, there are a few divisions over here, we can outflank them from the side, we can come down from the Golan where they won't expect us, we'll come by sea, one if by land, two if by sea. You know what he gets up and says? The most unrealistic, something out, I mean, surrealistic, something that olonale v'yorashno also. How, pray tell us, Kalev? Ki yachol nuchala. We can do it. You're going to have to get the full impact of this Kalev ben Yefuneh's brilliance. The Meraglim are saying there's an indigenous population over there. Do you know what's going to happen if we go in? I don't want to use the dirty word in mixed company, but this is going to be kibush, conquest. And we're going to be sholeit on 3-4 million Knanis, Prizis, Chivis, Yevusis. Can't do that. Die like kibush before the kibush. And you know what? You know how Kalev ben Yefuneh is responding? He doesn't come up with an alternate proposal. All right. In the major population centers, we'll give them autonomy, limited autonomy. Security is going to be completely in our hands. Where there are big cities, we will make roads going around them. We'll make kvishim okvim. Mevetzach geben an eitzah. There are possibilities. We can work it out. He doesn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Do you know what Kalev ben Yefuneh says? Faith. He talks Frumkeit. It's unbelievable. Im chofetz bonu Hashem. If God wants us. Im chofetz bonu Hashem v'hevi otanu el haaretz hazot. If God wants us, He will bring us to this land. Unetana lanu, and He will give it to us. Don't rebel against God. Do you know what he's saying, don't rebel against God? Because he understands step two that has taken place. Step one is the realistic factual report. And what does the factual report mean? Yeah, we've been true, we've been dreaming about this for years, but we have to come face to face with the present situation. There's a situation on the ground that you can't be blind to. Things have changed. It's not like it was in the days of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We're not living 400 years ago. We're living in a different world. So the Meraglim are saying there's a reality. But there was a dream. And this reality, you want to destroy the dream with this reality? You know what else you have to do? It just takes a little sleight of mind in order to do it. You have to get rid of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. You have to remove him as a significant figure in the whole story. And you know what? The Meraglim do precisely that. And Chazal say it on the Pasuk. Line number 25, really 24, on number 1. V'ha'anoshim asher oluimo. This is the second statement of the Meraglim. First, the Meraglim give the report about how strong and how mighty and how powerful they are. V'ha'anoshim asher oluimo omru. Lo nuchal la'alot al ha'am. We can't go up against that people. Ki chozok hu mimenu. Because he is stronger mimenu. What does mimenu? From him. Stronger than whom? If they mean stronger than us, it should have said, ki chozok hu me'itanu. Stronger than us. So you know what Chazal say, chozok hu mimenu? Hashem Yisbarach. Afilu tal habayit eino yachol lahotzi kelav misham. Stronger than God. Do you know what they've done? You know what they're effectively doing? They're removing the divine factor. They're removing the divine factor. Yes. That's a separate share. Yes, that's a separate shear. There were those who said that the Meraglim wanted to remain tachas kanfei hashchina, but I'm taking that they didn't want the hanhogah tivit. But we're taking a different approach. The approach now is to take a look at Kolig ben Yefuna. You know what's amazing about Kolig ben Yefuna? He simply lives in an unreal world. They must have laughed at him. Not really. They wanted to stone him to death. You know why they wanted to stone him to death? What do they want from Yehoshua and Kalev? We once said this. What do they want from Yehoshua and Kalev? It's 3 million people against 2. Big deal. Leave them be. Don't pay attention to Yehoshua and Kalev. He's talking diburim. You know why they want to stone them? Because deep in their neshama they know that Kolei ben Yefune speaks the truth. And they don't want to come face to face with the truth. You know what happens when you don't want to hear the truth? You want to silence it. You want to destroy it. You know what's really happening over here? Here are the realists, the people with their 2 feet on terra firma. They can tell you exactly the positions of each one of the Canaanite divisions, where they are. They can tell you who holds the top of the mountain, who holds the coast, who's encamped along the south. Impossible. They know everything that's arrayed against us. They know Iran, and they know Iraq, and they know Libya, and they know Egypt. And they know everything. They can tell you all the facts, rattle off all the statistics. And what does Kolei ben Yefuna have to say? Faith. Faith. Doesn't it sound a little hollow? Kolei ben Yefuna. So along comes the Rabbeinu Shem says, V'avdi Kolev, my servant Kolev, Ekev haitar ruach acheret imodu. There was a different spirit that flowed through Kolei ben Yefuna. All I want you to do is, let's move quickly ahead in time. 45 years later, Klal Yisrael have already finished the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. And Kolei ben Yefuna is 85 years old. And he tells Yehoshua ben Nun, God promised me the city of Hebron. Who was the realist? Who was the realist? Was it the Miraclin? Or the one who said, Be'ezras Hashem, we're going to do it? Who's the realist? The one who knows exactly where every Canaanite division is? Or the one who sounds like a kipas rugam mishichist, messianic dreams of Eretz Yisrael HaShleimah? Who's the realist? Kolev ben Yefuneh is the realist. He's right. They're wrong. 45 years later, he collects Hebron. When they went up, so it says, Vayovo ad Hebron, he came to Hebron. We learned the Pasuk. Vayalu Banegev, they went up through the Negev. Pasuk 10, line 10. Vayalu Banegev, they went up through the Negev. Vayovo ad Hebron, and he came to Hebron. From plural to singular, they went up to the Negev, and he came to Hebron. He went off on a side trip. The only one of them all. He went to the Moros HaMachpelah. He went to see Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This is a man of faith. Kolev ben Yefuneh. He receives his strength from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and all of the promises that were made to them. Let me ask you. Ben-Gurion placed the Tanakh on the table before the Peel Commission in 1937 and said, this is our deed to the land. Begin used to drive American presidents crazy, and especially Carter, didn't have too far to go, but he telling him all of his, it's our land. We haven't said it in 20 years. We're embarrassed of saying, Im chofetz banu Hashem, it'll be ours. No. What has overtaken us is realism. With realism, we would never have survived throughout history, and we wouldn't have established a state. All of our good friends in the world told Ben-Gurion, don't you dare establish a state. The American Jewish leadership said, that was Stephen Weiss and all of the rest, don't establish a state. There weren't enough people here who fought him every step of the way. It's unbelievable that he should be the big hero. He took a leap of faith. Without that leap of faith, nothing would have been. What's uglier about it all is that another people is not at all embarrassed to say that it's their ancestral land. And not only that, they say we weren't really here ever. And there isn't a voice saying, what are you talking about? They'll look at you like you're crazy. They may look at you like you're crazy. No comments. This year is going to end, and all other discussions will take place after the year. Say it as it is. And nobody says it as it is. Everybody is the big realist. Sharon has become the big realist. I mean, by the way, I'm not stretching the parsha to put in my personal opinion. It's clear what's happening over here. Kolev isn't saying anything that makes realistic sense. Don't tell me from the nicest God will give us the land. We have to fight. Seven mighty nations. Just like we had to fight seven nations in 1948. A realist would have said, it's madness. What you're doing is madness. So the realists were wrong, and those who took the leap of faith were right. So today, all of the realists are telling us, we should pack our bags and go back beyond this line or beyond that line. And then there's the voice, the single soul voice of Kolev ben Yefuneh. Olona ale v'yarashnu oto ki yachol nuchala. With the power of faith, we can do it. That's the one thing we haven't tried in the last 25, 30 years. Everybody's the big realist. We can hold this and we can't hold that. There's a demographic problem. You're right. So the only alternative that we have is the alternative, I will call it the alternative of Kolev Ben Yefuna. Avdi Kolev Ekev Hoiso Ruach Acheret Bo Vayimalei Acharai. He followed me fully, even when everybody looked at him as though he's stark, raving mad. And 45 years later, the idealist, the guy who doesn't seem to see straight, is the only one who saw straight. The only one who called it correctly. And all of the rest were wrong. We're embarrassed. We're afraid that they'll look at us like Mishugoyim. They'll make fun of us. So what? In the dark of night, there are moments to which I think to myself that if Sharon would take out a Bible and show the Bible to a Bible-reading Christian, he may get more points than he would ever have imagined. But we're afraid. We're afraid. We're embarrassed. We have to be the big realists. I think it's a tragic mistake. An absolutely tragic mistake. What we need is Kolev Ben Yefuna. Ruach Acheret. Vayimalei Acharei Hashem. Olo Na'aleh V'Yorashnu Ota Ki Yacholnu Chala. That's it.